Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone, alongside CEO of The Wine Growers, Carissa Cruz, here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
Woohoo!
And give out awards.
And give out awards. Celebrate everything.
And celebrate.
Yeah.
Great work by great people.
We are. We're coming off of our grower barbecue, which was just this past Thursday. So fun. It's a great way for our grape-growing vintner community, some of our sponsors, to get together and hang out, break bread, drink some wine.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually moved these two awards to sort of, we've always had the Viticultural Award of Excellence presented at Grower Barbecue, but we moved the Sustainable Winery, sort of Sustainable Producer Award to Grower Barbecue as well. So we have two award winners announced this week.
Are you keeping it a secret?
No, but I'm just waiting for you to ask me who they are.
Who got these amazing awards?
Okay, thank you. Well, I'm so glad you asked. Why amazing. So Viticulture Award of Excellence recognizes someone in our grape growing community, a family, an individual that really goes kind of above and beyond, promoting sustainability, growth, community. And so this year we honored the Mortensen family.
Nice.
Yeah.
Century Club member.
So say, you know, just a shabby 150-year-old, you know,
yeah,
run
operation.
At it.
Yeah, yeah, family
operation. But, you know, barely here. No, so literally one of our founding kind of farmers of Sonoma County as a family. So big congratulations to the Mortensens. And then for our Sustainable Producer Winery Award, we gave it to the Foley Family Wines and Spirits. For the wine part of that, not
yeah,
the spirits
for the wine,
part,
for the,
but
yes.
That is their company name. So, and the Sustainable Winery Award really honors winery partners in Sonoma County that, again, are really focused on stewardship, whether that's from an environmental perspective, economic stewardship and viability, or really social sustainability. And specifically, we really recognize that the Foley family, and especially through their own nonprofit, really support our local Sonoma County community. They just opened the pavilion in Healdsburg, which is really designed to be a community gathering place for folks up there. And then they have been big supporters of our own foundation that supports our vineyard workforce. So really happy and wanted to honor them for what they've contributed to really continuing to elevate our Sonoma County vineyard employees.
Well, look at that.
Yeah. So we're going to have to, I know we had Cam Mortensen in not too long ago, but we'll definitely have to get on the docket and get someone in here from the Foley family and talk about all the things they do and what this award meant to them.
Yeah, and so many different wineries that they have, and
yeah.
You know, from Chalk Hill, one of the early ones, to...
One of the newest ones, Ferrari Crono. And to tie it all together, they did buy Banshee, which we're probably going to talk a little bit about mm-hmm. Banshee today on our show with our guest.
Very smart move.
What'd you guys barbecue?
What did we barbecue? Oh, so it was
I don't get invited to the cookouts. I'm just a low producer for the show. That's all.
Sorry about that. It was the best food truck ever.
Oh.
So we brought a food truck in, and not only did they have, like, their burgers and sandwiches, they also, on the side, were grilling meats and did tacos.
Damn.
So it was pretty damn good, and all of that paired with all the different Sonoma County wines. So there you go. Next time, Jeff. Sorry about that.
And now everybody in the studio is hungry.
Next time, I know. And all we have are Swedish fish. So
all right. Well,
we'll work on that.
We'll take it. We'll take it. We'll be right back on with our guest. Joining us on today's Good Stuff in studio, we have our guest today, Baron Ziegler, founder of Marine Layer Wines. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
That's a deep voice.
That is a very deep voice.
I have a radio voice,
you
I've been
do,
told.
Actually.
It's the Northern Minnesota radio voice. Very rare.
Nice.
I like that.
Okay. All right.
Well, if one of us can't host the show, Virginie,
we know.
We got our tap in.
But I got some dates
I would
you
never
could fill in.
Try and fill in for you too.
But then he also said he has five kids that he's running all over town, so I'm not sure he has the time for radio.
No.
Oh, no,
even if
tons
you have
of
the
time.
Voice.
Tons of time.
It's
easy.
It's always a shame.
Five kids are easy.
Yeah, exactly. Five kids, five, hopefully, people helping you. So I want to dig right into your bio here because
you want to start at the beginning.
I mean, it's just a good opening line, I have to say. I mean, it says tequila, champagne, great Chardonnay, Pinot Noir. That's roughly the diet that Baron has been living on for the last 20
that's
years.
That's true. That's all I've had to eat today. So that definitely got me ready for the show here.
Is that the order of things? Start with tequila?
Actually, yeah. It's champagne and tequila. Pretty much at our house, all we drink is margaritas and champagne. So we do love the wines that we make. We love the grapes, varietals that we grow. But it's a pretty steady diet of grower champagne and tequila. Fortunately, we have an import company, which is half of our business, and we import probably the greatest champagne under $100 that there is. So free champagne every day is kind of the way we live our lives.
All right. Well, yeah, that's something to aspire to for sure. What were you doing before you were of drinking age?
Collecting wine, weirdly.
He's like, when I was nine.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. So we want to know that. Okay. So you were, I mean, it is part of your bio as well. Like, you started collecting wine at a young age. Where did you grow up? How did this happen?
I started collecting wine when I was 15. And I was in Minnesota, a little small town in Duluth, Minnesota, northern Minnesota, very cold. And my stepfather was a Great Lakes pilot. So he sort of took a liking to wine, fine Bordeaux from pilots that would go, you know, back and forth on the Great Lakes, you know, European captains. And I picked up a Wine Spectator when I was 15 and read a great article about a small little Tuscan winery called Montevertine. And I was just enamored with the romance of the whole idea, and the idea also that the wines used to be, you know, $12 a bottle, and now we're trading on the market for $120 a bottle. So for me, it was more an idea of investment and romance. And so I started collecting
especially
wine.
Especially in Duluth, Minnesota.
Yeah, right.
That's a lot to be romantic about.
It is, exactly.
The wine business.
It totally right. is. Well, I knew if I was going to get to college, I had to pay for it. So
said your fellow Midwest from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So,
oh, Sioux Falls?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, all right. Wow. We are from the most random places.
Right.
Totally. Yours might be more desolate than mine. I'm not going to lie.
I think people have met less people from South Dakota than Minnesota.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
So
100%.
I've got that medal.
So you're seeing these pictures of Tuscan villas and Tuscan countryside.
I'm like, I'm feeling you.
Yeah, that looks
I want
good.
That. Yeah.
That looks pretty good.
I can totally, I'm with you. I get it.
But finding wine in South Dakota or Minnesota is hard. So my mom, I asked her for a bottle of this wine called La Pergola Torte for Christmas when I was 15, which is a very hard wine to get. And she found a bottle.
A very random thing at 15 to ask
it is. For. It is. And to this day, it's still one of my favorite wines in the world.
Wow.
So that's how I started my love affair with wine.
What an amazing mom. I mean, kudos to her.
She was the greatest mom in the world.
So where did she find it, the bottle
she
of wine?
She went to Minneapolis, where she used to go for work occasionally, and big wine shop called, I think it was Annandale or... some great wine shop down there on Hennepin, and found one bottle, bought it for $45 at the time, 1990 La Pergola Torte, which now is worth about $800, $900 a bottle. And that was the first bottle of wine I ever got when I was 15. So,
do you still have it?
No. Sadly, I drank it. About 15 years ago, and I still have the bottle, technically, but it was pretty special. Yeah, that's how I started, and just never gave up wine. Went to school in Boston for medicine and started medical school and worked through all of college and the beginnings of medical school with Peter Eastlake, who now is one of our employees at Marine Layer here, full circle, in retail in wine in Boston. So I've been selling wine since I was 18.
So at some point, I mean, you were looking at it partly aspirational life, right? At getting out of Duluth, possibly.
But then you headed to Boston, which is equally as cold.
Also cold.
Yeah, not a good
not
place to grow grapes.
As cold. Not
no,
right.
That's fair. That's
but,
fair. It doesn't have the wind
cold,
off
cold-ish.
The...
Cold-ish.
But also...
Lightweights.
As an investment. But at what point do you start liking to drink wine?
When I was probably about 18. I started... I would force myself to down a glass of Sterling Vineyards Merlot from my mom's cold bottle in the fridge every night because I thought it was good for me as well. So, and I developed a taste for good red wine. And I started buying Bordeaux futures and having them sent to my dorm room. So I would stack up my, you know, wood cases of Bordeaux underneath my dorm bed. And was working at, you know.
So how would you even learn about that? I mean, this is before, like, the internet made everything
magazines,
accessible.
Just
magazines.
Yeah, just obsessive reading, and that was my hobby. So it was fun. It was weird, It was fun, though.
So you'd have these boxes, like, sent to your dorm room. Yeah. Like, you had to sign for them,
yeah,
right?
I can get away with a lot. Confidence goes a long way. If you just look at them and say,
I think you're right.
Absolutely. That's Ziegler? Yeah, that's me. Bring it upstairs, please.
Right, yeah. And you're wearing, like, a tie. You're dressed like,
yeah.
You know,
oh, my gosh.
And I look pretty young now. When I was 18, I looked like I was, you know, 7. So
they just wanted to get rid of the wine. They're like, I'm in a dorm.
They're like, we're not bringing this back to the car.
We're not
to the truck.
Yeah, let's not ask too many questions that we don't want answers to.
No, there's way worse things going into the dorm. So, like, yeah, they're like, the wine guy, we're not worried about the wine guy.
Yep,
yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So
then
I was going to say, what did your classmates or friends, were they like?
Yeah, I was a total idiot to them. But, you know, at the same time, I had a job the day I turned 18, and it was in, you know, so it was a well-paying wine sales job, illegally, but I loved doing it, and I got away with, you know, I pretended that I was 21, and the guy who hired me in this wine shop didn't ask a question because I knew everything about Bordeaux, and we had a great conversation about, you know, futures and blah, blah, blah. So he never thought to card me. So for 3 years, I worked underage at a wine retail store and drank, you know, tasted everything, ended up being a wine buyer before I was even 21, and started just really developing my palate and getting to know all the suppliers, all the people that are important in import and distribution, and, you know, all the producers. And, you know, you really need to taste a million wines in order to gain the perspective of somebody who knows the wine world. So it gives you great ability to judge your own wines now when you have tasted, you know, a million wines from all over the world. So
that
really
access is
was
key.
Very key. Very key.
Yeah. Amazing.
So what were some of your first early discoveries or early loves? I mean, you discovered, you know, I mean, you were buying Bordeaux futures, but that doesn't mean you liked Bordeaux wines,
it's
right?
It's true. So. I mean, I was a college student who in Boston didn't have a car and had to rollerblade even in the winter to his job. So I would rollerblade 3 miles in the icy snow.
So what I'm hearing is you were a total chick magnet.
Oh, yeah. No, I was pretty hot. No, but they, you know, developing a taste for things like Gruet sparkling wine from New Mexico, $15 for a bottle of really good sparkling wine from a cold climate in New Mexico. That was a wine that just blew my mind at the price point.
Yeah.
And that was also when Roeder Estate was very inexpensive and, you know, everything in the wine business was really still good value.
Mm-hmm.
But I worked for a guy named Josh Wesson, who was a big wine personality for a lot of years. And so he was kind of one of my first mentors in the wine business. And his whole concept was value. So everything in his store was under $15. So the store I worked at, the idea was value. And that sort of translated to what I do even now, where, you know, my whole concept in my business is to develop wines that are way better than they taste, or way better than the price point that they're at. You know, so $20, $25 Pinot Noir that tastes like $60 or $70 Pinot Noir. Wines that you can have by the glass that normally taste like wines that you would have to put away in your cellar for a long time. So value is really, I think, has been instilled in me from way, way back when. Yeah. And I think it really is the sort of the hallmark of what we still do.
I kind of forgot about Josh Wesson. I mean, he had those stores in New York.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
that was
a
store I worked at
for a while.
Yeah. So he had one in Upper East Side called Best Sellers.
That's right.
And then his second Best Sellers when he branched out from New York was Boston. And I was one of the opening shift people for that store.
Wow.
So
it was such a great concept.
It was
walk in, it was kind of like going into a boutique where, you know, sneakers would be featured,
exactly,
you know, like,
yeah.
and a lot of good write-ups on the wine, and you're totally right, all value. Like, that was the go-to in New York, for sure.
Yep, that was
what does he do now?
They sold the brand to A&P, and I don't know, I think Josh is kind of, you know, doing speaking engagements and whatnot, but we're sort of the next generation of Josh in a lot of ways.
Right,
his disciples, Peter Eastlake, myself, a bunch of people that came from that store, so.
Hmm. So at some point, you give up medicine, clearly, at some point.
No, I started, and then first semester, I was like, I don't want to be a doctor. So I deferred my entry and basically was like, I'm going to give this wine thing a shot full time. So.
And so you quit school.
I deferred it for a semester and then eventually
quit. We don't call it quitting. It's just deferring.
Yeah, deferring.
It sounds way more gentle.
Like, I'm going back.
Yeah,
you know, when this wine thing doesn't work out,
I'm
going to go back.
No, I mean, it's a statement, right? I mean, you were all in. I'm going to do this all in.
It was very, very challenging for my family. They said, they couldn't understand. They said, I think my grandma, you're gonna give up medical school to be a bartender?
Oh,
like,
no.
Grandma, it's not a bartender.
Little different.
not, but kind of a bartender.
Yeah. But when I describe it, you could actually say that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but they all believed in me and they all knew I was doing. So nobody really.
There should be a support group for families that lost pre-med students to the wine world, because there should be a large group of them.
Really? Okay. I don't know anybody else, but.
Oh, there's so many. Yeah. There's a lot of winemakers that started out in med school.
Really?
Like,
oh, geez.
They're like, no, don't like blood or whatever. And they.
I need to meet them because I've never met another one.
Okay,
we need a support group.
We'll help you. We'll put you all together.
We need a Monday call.
You need it and your family needs it.
Hopefully it worked out for all.
All the survivor stories.
If you know them, it worked out for them. So,
it did work out for them. Yes, you're right. And they had happier lives, right? And
that's it. That's what it is. You know, you see the doctors and you're like, I don't want that lifestyle. You know, that's not for me.
They can afford a lot of
wine. Thank God it's for somebody because, my God, we need them. But wow, it's a challenging life.
Okay, so you go all in on wine.
Yeah.
Carissa. And now you're in Boston still.
Now you're in Boston.
You haven't even come to California.
See, this is a slow burn. I'm a slow burn, guys.
I love it.
So California.
Yeah.
When does that happen?
So I started working for Eric Solomon, who's a national importer. Worked for him for 10 years. Ran a lot of the regions of the country in sales and basically learned how to sell wine to distributors, which is really the key in this whole industry, is learning how to sell, A, and learning how to sell national distribution, B. And so I ran his company. And then in 2010, we had moved out to California, my wife and I, and one of my good friends, Noah Dorrance, who now owns Reeve Cellars and Bloodroot, he was working at the time at a custom crush facility, which catered to rich people. Basically, they'd make, you know, high-end barrels of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay for, you know, venture capital firms. And this is 2010, and the market had just crashed. And they had all this wine that people were backing out on, hundreds and hundreds of barrels of great Pinot Noir. And he said, why don't we just, you know, why don't we just buy some of this? I was like, yeah, why don't we start a brand? So, and I knew how to sell wine, and I knew how to market it, and he knew how to, he had the access to the barrels. So we bought 8 barrels of wine. We tasted every barrel 10 times. Bought 8 barrels of wine, so equivalent of 200 cases of wine, Pinot Noir from high-end vineyards in the Sonoma Coast, and created a brand called Banshee as a fun project. Right. And the idea was, you know, I'm in distribution with Eric. You're working at Crush Pad. Let's just do this. Let's sell. Let's flip the 200 cases and let's make enough money to take our wives on vacation. That was it. Like, I know, did the math. Yeah. And okay, we can make, you know, we can make 15 grand. We can go on vacation. And I showed the wine to my distributor in Boston, who is my real mentor, a guy named Doug Shaw, who owns MS Walker, big family owned company. And he said, how much did you make? I said, 200 cases. And he said, can we just buy it all right now? And I'll just give you the money in advance so you can go back and buy more.
Wow.
And I mean, so that really set us off to create something kind of a domino effect, Banshee, into something that really was very successful for a long time. So Banshee went from 200 cases to about 75,000 cases. And we ended up selling Banshee in 2017 to Bill Foley from Foley Family Wines, a great guy. And, you know, and we've started a lot of other things since.
Well, talk a little bit. When did you open the tasting room for Banshee in Healdsburg? Because that was actually a pretty, I don't say revolutionary, but it was a very different vibe and concept for a tasting room, which was awesome. Having visited it.
So we opened Banshee Tasting Room in probably 2013. And the idea was, you know, we had no money. We were just, you know, living on cash flow and living on triple mortgaging my house at the time.
Oh, welcome to the wine business.
Believe me, it's not a super profitable business, but
it's a fun one.
And, you know, the idea was, we have a small space we want, and we really built it to be somewhere we wanted to hang out and have parties. So it was kind of like our late night party house outside of our homes. So Noah and I were like, okay, let's build something with great music, somewhere where we want to come at like 11 with friends and just like party. So that's exactly what we did. And Banshee Tasting Room was kind of a great picture of us in our early 30s. And now Noah and I have our new brands, Marine Nair and Reeve, and they're sort of versions of us in our 40s.
Right.
A little bit more sophisticated, but still the same thing. Still our party rooms. So still the place that two nights a week we're there after hours, hanging out, listening to music, you know, eating food, cutting sushi, and getting DoorDash. So it really is kind of it's a lifestyle thing more than it is a business move. In a lot of ways.
Yeah. Okay. We need to take a quick break. We're going to come right back on with Baron Ziegler of Marine Layer Wines.
Mm-hmm.
back on The Good Stuff with Baron Ziegler, founder of, well, Banshee, which you were just telling us about, and now Marine Layer Wines. So Banshee's a success. You're like, you're running kind of the wave of Pinot Noir in California. You at a value.
Okay, and so now I have to interrupt because the first time I actually met you, which I think we've talked about since, but I'm over in Napa having dinner with Ray Isle and Steve DeVaris, and you had just sold Banshee. Yeah. You were out celebrating.
Oh, my God.
And I just kept watching the bottles of wine headed to your table. And then it was really great because some of those headed our table. And that was my first, like, it was like that week or even maybe that day announcement had gone through. And that was like my first encounter. Ray had introduced me to you, and I was just like, damn, how fun.
Yeah.
Like, what an exciting moment.
It was just
moment.
Me and my wife. Yeah. Six bottles of wine, two people. That's just kind of normal.
What could go wrong? Well, thanks for sending over some bubbles for
course,
us. And we got
course.
To celebrate with
no,
you.
No, that was awesome. Meadowood. I think that was at Meadowood.
Was that Meadowood?
As it should be. As it should be. If you're celebrating.
So great.
Yeah, because I was like, who's this guy with all the... And I was like, oh, that he just sold Banshee by Ziegler. I was like, damn, good. So anyway, very cool.
I mean, a huge moment.
I'll tell you, the greatest story from that night was the sommelier, who was just a cheeky guy. I had never met him. I said, you know, he knew what we were doing, and he's like, you know, what would you like? And I said, you know, we're really looking for something like a Pinot, kind of similar to, you know, similar to the wines that we make. And he's like, oh, you know, I do have Banshee. It's on page number 97 under sellouts. And then he walked away.
Oh my
I was
God.
Like, that
play?
Is the best. Well that was played. That was a golf clap. That was a
well
total golf clap.
Played.
I was like, that's fantastic.
Oh, that's funny. I have not heard that.
I hope you tipped well, because that's so
oh, no, totally. I laughed my ass off.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So did you already have something in mind? I mean, was it like you mentioned a slow burn. Was it a slow burn to selling Banshee, or was it kind of a surprise?
It was years and years of negotiating and years of figuring out the right deal. And, you know, we didn't need to sell it at that time. It was a great opportunity for Bill to get a brand that had real grassroots, real like strength grassroots in all the accounts that were independent in the Whole Foods of the world. Mm-hmm. None of the, you know, Costco's or Safeways. It was all like the real difficult accounts to get into. And for us, it was great because we could only grow it so far without using the, you know, the Targets and the Costco's and the Safeways. So it was the perfect moment to sort of pass the brand that was evolving faster than we could handle it to somebody who could then take it and shepherd it to its next level. So in which they've done and is, I think, one of their fastest growing brands still. So it is, it was a perfect, it really worked out extraordinarily well for both sides of the deal, which I think is very rare in the wine business too. So it was great.
So then what, after the big celebration at Meadowood?
Well, we started Banshee in 2010, and at the same time in 2010 we started an import company. So the import company called Valkyrie Selections, we import wine from France, Spain, and England, and that has always been more than half of our business. So really the cash flow side of our business is supported by the imported ones. We have over 50 producers in Europe that we import their wines. We have custom labels. We have brands that we own in Europe. We're less known for these things, but that is really sort of more the strength of our portfolio. So when we sold Banshee, we were continuing to evolve with this great import book. But we decided that, you know, okay, what are we going to do? And we had just planted a vineyard in the Spasspool Hills that was going to be our estate vineyard for Banshee. Beautiful. I mean, it was a perfect parcel. This thing was going to be like the ultimate single vineyard site for Banshee. 6 acres of Pinot and Chard. And we didn't know what to do with it because Bill didn't want the vineyard because he had plenty of vineyards of his own. So we had this vineyard and no brand to put it in. So Rob Fisher, my winemaker, and I, and partner in the business, we decided, okay, we're gonna create a brand. We're gonna take the money from this sale, and we're gonna create the brand that we've always wanted, the one that doesn't skimp on anything, the one that doesn't have to cut corners, the one that, you know, only sources from the greatest vineyards of Chardonnay and Pinot Noir and Sonoma Coast. That was it. It's like we're gonna go for the very high level quality wise, and so we created a brand called Marine there. And we used this vineyard that we had planted, which was going to be the Banshee Estate Vineyard, became the Marine Layer Estate Vineyard, which just got 98 plus points today. Amazing. From Jeb Dunnick, which is great. It's the best score we've had.
I've heard of him. You've heard of him?
You've heard of Jeb, yeah. Not a bad guy. But we create a whole brand based around this amazing vineyard. And the Marine Layer Vineyard and the Marine Layer Estate is now sort of an ode to the best cold climate Pinot and Chard vineyards in California. So we source from a lot of the Dutton vineyards, which we think are some of the best in California. Yep, I know. I had to give a plug.
I've heard of that name.
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm always hoping I'm going to get $100 off some of my tonnage prices if I say that.
I'll let them know.
Yeah, please do. A lot of Bill Price's vineyards, yep. Things like Gap's Crown, Durell Vineyard.
That's great vineyards.
We really do source only the very greatest vineyards in California for Marine Layer. So the idea with Marine Layer is the very best Chardonnay and Pinot we can make in California from the best sites and still not that expensive. So, mm-hmm. You know, our wines start at $45 and they go up to $70. That's the most expensive wine we make. So the idea would be, you know, a lot of the best Sonoma County Pinots and Chards are $80 to $100 or $80 to $150. We still want to have our greatest wines, which we think are some of the best in California, at what we think is a value at those prices. So still Marine Layer is really, yeah. It's the best thing we've ever done. It's the hardest thing we've ever done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But truly, I think it has caught as a brand faster and better than any brand I've ever been associated with. Wow. So it is, it's a rocket ship and we're just trying to hold on, really.
So, and then talk about the vibe you created at Marine Layer, because you were starting to do that as we went to yeah. a break. But the place you now like to hang
out.
So
we had a tasting room for Banshee sort of off the plaza in Healdsburg. Yeah. That is now the Martha Steumann Vineyard tasting room. But we now have a Marine Layer tasting room right on the plaza on the eastern side, right next to the bakery.
Yeah.
And it's really something that we created with a little bit more money. We had a little bit more money to actually spend on it. So it wasn't us, you know, using cheap Home Depot flooring.
I noticed the furniture was a little upgrade.
It's a slight upgrade. But it really is, you know, it's a place that we want to hang out. So we created these things as places that we want to go after hours to hang out with our friends and listen to music and order takeout and just chill out. So it really is a party place for us, and we open it to the public. And it's nicer than the Banshee one because that was us in our 30s. This is us in our 40s.
Tastes have evolved.
Yeah, tastes have evolved. You know, a little bit, not much. We're still degenerates, but it really is. It's a gorgeous place. It's the most beautiful tasting room around, definitely. And the vibe is always super high. And you know, we're all having fun. We have the best staff, by far the best staff I've ever seen for a tasting room.
Cool.
And they're all real extensions of us and our brand. And we like to just hang out. And if it's dark out, three nights a week, you'll probably see us in there dancing and seriously opening champagne. We've had the police come by a couple times and be like, guys, you gotta like calm down. You gotta slow down.
The baker
three in the morning.
Is like just getting to work.
Down.
Yeah.
That's happened. That has happened.
Yeah. The intersection.
Yeah. That's a funny.
Oh, the morning and the evening people meet on the street.
It is so depressing when you're coming out and they're coming in. It's like, oh, terrible. And I have a bottle of Marine Layer here if you guys
I know.
Want
let's
try
do it.
Any.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. Tell us what you brought.
A bottle of our Durell Vineyard Chardonnay.
The answer is always yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Always yes.
We made 150 cases of this. And it is basically three barrels, three puncheons, a Stockinger and two dummy puncheons of Chardonnay. Thank you. I'm just going to go straight from the bottle if that's okay.
You can. And, you can do anything you want.
Yeah, and it is, to me, it's sort of the epitome of cold. Okay.
That one's, yeah.
You can
there
have
we
that
go.
Whole you can actually have a glass.
Yeah,
I give this 107 points.
Nice.
Which is a very impressive score for
107.
Chardonnay.
107. Okay.
I was going to go 107.5.
Yeah. There you go.
And this is how.
Plus, question mark.
Yes.
Tasted with consistent notes.
This is how it all goes horribly wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
now
I give
hammered.
It 1,000,
yeah.
You know, and then, like, it's all, whatever.
An ode to my buddy Duff Bevel. The first glass you're inspired, the second glass you're just drinking.
Yeah, that's true. That's actually a good point. Very good point.
Off we go.
Yeah, let's
go.
Off we go. Exactly.
Yes, just drink it. Just drink it.
Yeah, I always love that. He's like, well, I have my best thinking on the glass one, glass two, just drinking.
That's true.
Yeah, that's probably
glass
good to
seven is really that.
Glass seven.
That's the one that I hit my sweet spot.
Yeah.
I get creative at glass
seven. I was
going
to say, what's been your best idea at glass seven?
Yeah, probably. Maybe Marine there.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe let's take all this money and spend it right away on something. Another brand.
Well, you did have that one glorious dinner transition
I did,
at Meadowood.
Yeah, that's
so,
true. That's true.
I mean,
Ray didn't know, but I put it on Food and Wine's
that's
bill.
That's amazing.
I would hope so. Oh, my God. I wouldn't even notice, right?
Steve DeVaris paid for that.
As he should.
Oh, just there kidding. You go.
Just
Ode to Ray, ode to Steve. It's all good.
Everything
all good.
Happens at Meadowood.
Yeah,
that's true. I was just recently at Aspen Food and Wine this past weekend, and Chris Costau was on the flight.
There you go.
And I was looking around. I was like, this is really a who's who of California food
headed
and wine.
Aspen.
The Aspen flight for Aspen Food and Wine.
It is totally true.
It was great. And I was like, dude, thank you for that meal years ago.
Pretty great.
Going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on.
Oh,
particular founder of Banshee and now Marine Layer Wines. And so you poured us this incredible Durell Chardonnay. How many wines do you usually have on offer when people come and visit?
We do two different flights, and we have between 4 and 10 different wines that people can try. And you know, the great thing about our brand is every single grape that we harvest is of single vineyard quality. So, you know, for Chardonnays, we have 6 single vineyards. They're all some of the who's who names of Sonoma County Chardonnay. And we don't have a single other vineyard that goes into our lower end wine called Aries. It's just a blend of those wines. Okay. So what we do is, you know, from the 5 different vineyards, we'll, you know, make between 6 and 10 barrels of each. And then we'll go through, right before bottling, we'll pick the best 3 to 4 barrels of that vineyard. And those 3 to 4 barrels get bottled as the single vineyard, like as the Durell that you're tasting right now. Mm-hmm. And then the other 3 to 4 barrels of Durell get blended with the other 3 to 4 barrels of all of our other single vineyard Chardonnays into a wine called Aries. Mm-hmm. And Aries is our $45 sort of Sonoma Coast blend of single vineyards, which, to be honest, is usually often the best wine that we make, the blends
yeah.
because they are the blend of these awesome vineyards.
Yeah.
And, you know, where one has a lot of ripeness, the other vineyard has minerality. It really just like it. And, you know, if we were using, you know, worse fruit for that wine, then it should be lesser. But it really should be better because it's a blend of all the other ones. And it's, you know, 20% cheaper, but the cost to us is exactly the same because, you know, obviously it's the same one. So, you know, the idea is we want to make really, really great accessible wines that are not too expensive. That people can get behind, that you can find in national distribution. You can find Aries in, you know, 29 states, 7 different countries. We want to be able to have this wine available in New York and Florida and Boston, you know, Southern California here. The idea is to have these wines, you know, accessible to the people. But the single vineyards are really only accessible to people who are in our wine club. Okay. So the wine club is quite big now. And really that's where you get the best wines that we make.
Okay, so Chardonnay, then come in and try some of your Pinots.
Yeah, the Pinots are 80% of what we make. Okay. So really cold climate Pinot Noir, akin to, you know, Chambon Musigny or Vaughan Romanée from Burgundy. That's sort of the style we like. Very aromatic, very delicate, a lot of structure. But they are to me. I mean, I'm not the winemaker. We have a Rob Fisher's our winemaker. He's the genius behind it. He's the best. Yeah, he's absolutely the best. So I can say it, but these are some of the best wines in Sonoma because I didn't make them and I can compliment him on them.
Right.
But I'm a very harsh critic, as you know, from 15, I've been tasting basically, you know, judging wine. And these are, to me, some of the best Pinot Noirs that you'll ever taste in California.
Okay, so just an amazing remark that the very first bottle of wine you got at 15 was $45, and now you make one of your best wines is $45.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's true.
All these years later.
If mine appreciates to $850 like that one did,
well,
I'll be
on.
Very happy.
That's what we're going for.
Yeah, that's why I need everybody out there listening to go out and buy a case of everything.
Stash it under your dorm room bed.
Exactly. Yeah, these do age really well because we use a lot of stem, because they're such cold climate, you know, high acid. Cold climate wines, these age extremely well, the Pinots.
How'd you meet Rob? Because, I mean, he's been with you since the Banshee days, right? So
yeah, he was our winemaker for Banshee. Rob was introduced to me by a friend of a friend, and it was, you know, it was love at first sight. We literally had a 4-hour conversation, our first conversation ever, and he's been like my brother ever since. So we really are a family. We're 30 employees, I think, in our company total. And, you know, of the 30, 10 have been with me for longer than 8 years.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's just,
awesome.
And some 13, 14, the whole time we've been a company. Mm-hmm. So we really are an amazing family. And that's the best part of my job is the people I work with and the people that, you know, make me look good. Cause I have 5 kids and, and I can't do a lot of the things I used to do. And everybody else, you know, pulls the weight that I used to pull. And, we're a family.
Yeah. Important to have those people with you along all these projects.
That's what makes it great.
Yeah.
So how else can people find out in the time that we have left? They can come to you.
Come see us in Healdsburg. We're right on the plaza. We're open every day till 7. You know, it's, if you haven't been to Healdsburg, it's one of the greatest places to come hang out during the summer. It's pretty beautiful. You know, we're doing glasses of rosé out the window on Tuesdays when we have the music in the plaza.
Oh, I love that.
Our winery is a block and a half from the plaza, so yeah. You know, VIPs will swing them down to the winery and show them a couple barrels and taste from there.
Yeah.
And we're gonna be coming up here in August 7th through 9th is Outside Lands. So we are, since day one, since the very first Outside Lands, we're one of the wine sponsors. So we are a very prominent part of Outside Lands. So you'll see me there with my tank top on and, you know, usually some pink.
Tank top?
Oh, yeah. No, we dress up. It gets crazy. No, when you've had enough to drink, you don't need a hoodie.
Yeah, that's true. You don't get
so cold. I was going to say, I think this is actually the most normal.
I know.
You dress.
I'm in a sweater and some slacks, which is super
rare. I almost walked by you and didn't even recognize you.
He must have thought this was a video podcast.
I like to show skin. What can I say? What can I say?
Okay. Well, yeah, Outside Lands, it's a great place for wine.
It's a Minnesota boy still so excited he now lives in California.
Exactly. It's like, you call this cold?
Yeah.
Not cold.
Yeah, you know nothing. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Banshee,
this has been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Go so way awesome. Back with you guys, and I'm grateful to be a part of this.
So fun.
Thank you.
Good stuff. That was fun.
So fun.
Marine Layer Wines. True. Great value.
Yeah, and he has so much energy. Like, he commented, but I've never been around him when he's been in a bad mood. He was like, you know, he's just always upbeat.
Yeah.
And truly enjoying what he does.
Well, it's a great story. I mean, I would love to know, like, the perspective of his roommates back in those days
totally.
In Boston. But,
And also his mom being like,
I mean,
off I go to Minneapolis to buy you this expensive bottle of Italian wine for Christmas when you're 15.
I would have done that.
I mean, yes, totally you would have.
Yeah, I totally would have done that. Or sneakers or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Something special.
Something special.
That mattered to that person.
For sure. It's just a very unique special, though.
It really is. But yeah, Banshee, a great, great achievement and story. And now Marine Layer. So.
Yeah. And like I said, I've always loved that. When I've heard him speak on panels or talk about Banshee to Marine Layer, about creating a place that you want to hang out. And I think that makes so much sense.
Yep. So they're 308B Center Street, Healdsburg, right near the plaza, as he mentioned. You can email them at hello@marinelayerwines.com or just probably visit marinelayerwines.com. It's not hard to find. Go
but
check
even
it out.
That's friendly.
Sure is.
Who do you email? You email hello. At Marine Layer, right? I think more people should greet people like
it's
that.
It's very true. It sounds
it's
like a party.
It's not an info ad. It's hello at.
Right.
I'm going to have to steal that for so many things.
Okay.
Maybe that's going to be my new email. hello@sonomawinegroup.org.
Hello, I'm Carissa at Sonoma Wine.
Whenever I email you these episodes, it says that you're away from your desk. So I'll take a hello.
Wow.
To be fair, she probably is often away from her desk. But like, that's such a funny way to think about email now. Like, you can check it anywhere, you know.
Yeah. Just like, I know
just
you can.
Just give me a hello back.
I just want the hello. Oh,
hello.
You are so done for now.
Uh-oh. All right.
I'm going to be like, I'm going to do hello in multiple languages. Every time you email me now, that's all.
I think,
just be like, hello.
I think you just need the response to be like the bubble bell.
The bubble.
Like,
ding, ding, ding.
An audio response.
Man, that'd be like lots of
ding,
emojis,
ding, ding.
Little sound effects.
Yes.
I'm kind of loving all of this. I am.
Anyway, well, in the meantime, what are we drinking for inspiration?
Well, I mean, I'm going, obviously, staying with Marine Layer and some of the incredible Chardonnays and Pinots that they do. But this particular one, it says it's for club members only, so I'm going to have to go knock
to
on the door.
Nicely.
Ask nicely or join the club, whatever happens to happen. But it's the 2023 Hawk Hill Vineyard, which love the folks, the farming team, owners of Hawk Hill, and Margaret and Bill Yerrick. And lots of yumminess. So
great
2023
vineyard.
Hawk Hill Chardonnay. Yeah, great vineyard.
Mm. Speaking of great vineyards, I actually happened to find a Vermentino that they make from Las Brisas in Carneros.
Love it.
2025, so fresh for you, ready to go.
What's not to love about
that? We're
going to
drink that. The 25 Las Brisas Vermentino from Marine Layer.
Well, I think we need to just head to Healdsburg and hang out and have a dance party with them.
And wait for the baker to come to work.
And wait for the baker.
I think that should be our goal.
That really should. Yeah, that is a noble goal.
We're going to keep drinking until we see the baker.
I wonder if they just like do a little exchange. That would be good.
Yeah, the baker's probably like, oh, no.
They're still here.
They're still here. Or it's like, oh, well, I'm not alone in this world.
Yeah, that might be. Mm.
Yeah.
And they probably need some coffee at that point. So open up the bakery, get the coffee brewing. Off
Very
you go,
true.
Start
All
your
right.
day.
Well, from Sonoma County to wherever you are, thanks for joining us on The Good Stuff. And remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.